Well, it's good to see you all again. And as usual, I'm going to stand down here. I feel better when I'm a little bit closer to you. You should have a handout. The handouts are coming around, and it's a Bible study regarding women of Acts, some individual women who are found in the book of Acts. We studied this in this group, I think, about 3 years ago. Today, I just want to focus on the middle section, the section that's about Dorcas in Acts chapter 9. So if you have a Bible with you today, I invite you to find Acts chapter 9. We'll read a little bit about this woman and discuss just briefly who she was, what she did, why she was so important. Now, this woman in particular has been on my mind because my grandmother passed away recently, about a week ago, I think, and then we attended the funeral service this past weekend. And my dad was there. He brought a message in the funeral service, and he referred to Acts 9 and the example of Dorcas and related some of those points to my grandmother. And if you can just indulge me for a minute, I loved my grandmother, and a lot of people did. She was 97 years old when she died, and she did a lot of good things for a lot of people. But, you know, I don't think the world would have viewed her as anyone special or outstanding, just a farmer's wife, a dairy farmer. But she was so faithful and served so many people. She was married to my grandfather 70 years before he passed away. 70 years, that's just remarkable. And you just don't see that anymore. And you know something else I learned during the funeral service? She was a member of that church 70 years as well before she passed. 70 years she had been a member at that church. In her salvation testimony, she was attending a Methodist church as a teenager, and she thought she was a Christian because she went to church all the time. And they had a guest speaker into the Methodist church who was an evangelist, and he just spent the whole time while he was preaching just giving the gospel and explaining salvation is found in Jesus Christ alone, and you need to depend upon Jesus Christ alone. And she had been baptized as an infant, in the Methodist church, and so had my grandfather, and had been a part of the church. But for some reason, just the way things were in that church, the gospel wasn't really given that directly. And that was the first time she said it was just so simple, and it was so clear. And she said about half the congregation at the conclusion of the message, you know, responded to the invitation, and just put their dependence upon Jesus alone. And that was her salvation testimony, and she was baptized after that, and eventually left that church. They, for some other, just some other concerns, some of the teaching and preaching wasn't strictly biblical, and went and helped this new church, you know, to continue to grow and develop. She and her husband, and they were members there at that Baptist church 70 years until she passed. And she did so many things for so many people, and she was remembered as a woman who was always serving. She wasn't, she wasn't up in front of people. She wasn't that kind of a person, but always serving and helping in the children's church and in the nursery, and a very hospitable person. She always had people in her home. Anytime somebody asked, anytime somebody had a need, you know, she got to be a little bit older, and her memory wasn't as good. And I think we can forgive somebody who's in her 90s, but sometimes people would stop by and see her and she wouldn't remember their name, but she always wanted to make sure that she had a meal ready for them and a bed to stay there if they needed it. She lived on her own until the last 6 weeks of her life. I mean, she was on her own. And a couple years ago, my family and I, just my wife and my kids, we stopped by to see her, and I called ahead just to make sure she knew that we were coming. I called, I said, "Grandma, can we stop in?" She said, "Of course, you know." Well, by the time we got there, she had forgotten that I had called, you know, and she didn't have any supper ready, and she felt so bad about it. I said, "Don't worry about it, Grandma. We'll just go to the restaurant." And the whole time, you know, we took her to the restaurant, the whole time she was apologizing. "I'm sorry. Should have had a meal for you." You know, she's 95 years old. But so just to say, it's been on my mind. Acts chapter 9 is what we're looking at today. And the example of a woman who, you know, maybe to the world at large, not considered somebody special or unique, but just serving God. And here's the example of Dorcas in Acts 9, how well loved she was by people, just because she was always serving them, always helping people, to the point where they sent, she passed away, she died, okay? And she was so well loved, this one person, they felt they had to have her back. You know, she was the one. They said, we've got to have her back. And so let's read this portion and let's see what happens here. Acts chapter 9 and verse 36 is where I'm reading, and we'll read a few verses, and then I'll just ask you to follow along and read along in your own Bible there, and then I'll ask you some questions. Verse 36, there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. And usually this woman's remembered as Dorcas now years and years later. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. It came to pass in those days she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard Peter was there, that is in Lydda. You can look up the previous verses. Peter had just been ministering in this other town called Lydda. So they sent a group to find Peter. They sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa. I'll bet it was. How about that? It was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. All right, okay, let's a few questions here, just basic, and hopefully this will allow us to bring out some spiritual principles we can apply today, some things we can apply to our own lives as we seek to be servants and helpful to others. The first question, how much of Dorcas's time do you think was given to serving the church members? I'm not asking you just to kind of imagine something. Look at the passage we just read. How much of her time do you think she had dedicated to helping and serving others that belong to the church? What do you think? I heard somebody say all her time and a lot of time. Yeah, I would say so. Now, how do we know that? We don't want to just guess at it. What does it say there? Full of good works. Okay. Yes. Full of good works. That's a good good point. My coffee mug right here is half full of coffee, but it says her life was full of good works. So right up to the top here, right up to the brim and just overflowing. Yep. Okay, right. That's a lot of work. A lot of work, yeah, to put in. They were all gathered around. You get the impression there was quite a group of people they'd helped, that she had helped out, and showing Peter, look, all these things she's made. That took some time. So a lot of her time, if not all of her time, was devoted to helping and serving others. What a remarkable example for you and me. And, you know, when that day comes, when you and I, it's time to say goodbye to our friends and loved ones. How are they going to remember us as someone who was just passionate about serving our own needs and just wanted to do our own thing, or somebody who had given his or her life for others? Number 7 on the sheet there, what type of service did Dorcas provide? What did she do? I'm sorry? Ministered to the widow. So people who had a need, yeah? People she could help. And, okay, what else? What did she do for them? Made garments. All right. Some good examples there, some good points we can think about. She did. Yes, go ahead. Yes. It's giving to people. as opposed to like giving to the church, something like that, giving to a ministry, but giving to people in need. That's what alms deeds is. Yeah, that's a good question. There's a word we don't use every day. I'm an offering envelope on Sunday morning. I don't see alms deeds right there next to building fund. You know, that's what that means, giving alms, giving to people. Yeah, good question. People in need. So she was helping widows. She was helping people in need. Right. And what I was about to say, she did some things that she could do. She saw a need and she met the need. Okay. This reminds me of the story of Mary in the town of Bethany. I don't know if you remember this from the Gospels, when Mary came in and she had this box of ointment, this incense that was very valuable. And she gave that all to Jesus. And Jesus said a couple of things about her. You know, some of the disciples were complaining about that. They said, this waste of ointment, which is so shocking. Can you just imagine somebody looking at a gift that was given to Jesus and saying, that was a waste. She gave too much to Jesus. And Jesus replied and he said, she hath done what she could. She found what she had. Now, we don't all have a box of ointment that we can give to the Lord. That's what she had. And she had Jesus there. And she has done what she could. Nobody told her she had to. And nobody told Dorcas, you got to do this. You got to start up this ministry to help the widows and help people in need. She saw a need. She said, I can sew. I mean, I assume she could sew. She made all these garments. She said, I can do that. And I can help out. And some people are like that, you know. Some people, they just see a need and they don't have to be called and encouraged and told, you know, you really should help out there. And they don't have to be invited three times and say, well, I'll pray about it. You know, I'll think about it. I'll see if I can fit it into my schedule. That's not the way Dorcas was. She was ready and helping. Okay, let's look at some cross-references, shall we? Can we find Luke 12:33? And some other portions, some other scriptures in the Bible, Luke 12:33. And I wonder if there's someone here who could read that out for us. Whenever you find it, just read it out nice and loud. Okay, good. And how did Dorcas exemplify that kind of teaching of Jesus? I'm sorry?
Give alms.
Give alms, specifically, word for word, that's what she did. Yeah, she gave alms, yep. If I can just comment, she had a different value system than most of the world. And I think that's what Luke 12:33, that's what Jesus is saying. You need to live according to a different value system. Most of the world around us, it's not just an American problem, but we really do have this problem here in America, in the United States. Just people really value their life by the dollars, the amount of money, by the amount of things that they have. And what did Jesus tell us? He said, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And a woman's life too, all right? A man's life, a person's life is not measured by how much stuff he has, how far ahead he's gotten in life, how much money, how much possessions. That's not how you measure life. And here in Luke 12:33, similar thought. I've got a couple other scriptures written down here. I want to look these up just real fast. They're very similar. They're also cross-references. Can we also look up Mark 14, verse 8? Just real fast. We won't spend a lot of time, but similar thought here. And also Matthew 25 and verse 40. So Mark 14, verse 8. Could someone read that out for me? Thank you. And that's that scripture about Mary. And then Matthew 25, verse 40. Can someone read that point for me? Matthew 25 and verse 40.
He shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, ye have not yet, ye have not yet unto one.
Thank you. So, you know, it's not stretching a point to say that when Dorcas was ministering to these Christian people who were in need, she was really ministering to the Lord, and she was serving Christ, and she was doing something for Jesus. What a blessed thought that you and I, by serving other people, we can really serve Jesus. And I know you have to use your imagination a little bit. What if Jesus were right here in the room with us? Do you think you'd be eager to try to help him and serve him and minister to him? I think so. I think we all would. But, you know, he is. And we can. We can do exactly that. If you've got an opportunity, the Lord put something on your heart, you can help somebody. You see a need, you're aware of somebody has a need, and you can meet that need. That's ministry to the Lord. That's ministry to Jesus himself. Now, where are we on this sheet? Question number nine. Why did God choose to direct Peter to bring Dorcas back to life? There's an interesting question. I'm not even sure that I can dogmatically tell you the answer to that question, but it's thought-provoking, isn't it? Why do you think that she was the one, Dorcas or Tabitha? She was the one who was brought back to life. There was no other dead people. I mean, there was nobody else. But she was the one. And there's a couple of resurrections in the book of Acts. We read about Dorcas, and we read about, Eutychus. But she's somebody even to this day, 2,000 years later, we're talking about her. Why her? Why do you think? Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry? Who was the brokenhearted? Yeah, they were just so moved. They felt that was an irreparable loss to the church. Yeah. We can't live without her. We got to have her back. Yes. And many believed. What a testimony. You see the second to the last verse there. Now I've lost my place, but back in Acts 9, the second to the last verse, what does it say? And many believed on the Lord when that news spread. That reminds me, of course, of John chapter 11 when it gives us the story of the resurrection of Lazarus. It says specifically in John chapter 11, many believed on Jesus because of Lazarus. And I don't doubt that's true. Something like that, the news would certainly spread and people would want to meet Lazarus or Dorcas after that experience and want to talk to her. And that just drew a lot of attention, not only to the church, but to God. Yep. Yeah, there's two or three verses devoted just to the fact of this group getting together two men and sending those two men to find Peter, you know, on a mission and desiring Peter and pressing him to come right away. Don't wait around. We need you right now. And they were pretty urgent. I mean, they took some steps here. They said, we got to figure this out. That too reminds me of a couple of stories in the Gospels about people who really needed a miracle, and they were just passionate about getting to Jesus. I recall that story of the man who was paralyzed, sick of the palsy, the Bible says, but he was paralyzed, and he couldn't get to Jesus, but he had four friends. And the four friends were determined. They were going to do whatever it took. They were even going to tear apart the roof just to get this man to Jesus. And here's Dorcas. You know, she had laid up treasure in heaven, and it turns out she had the most valuable treasure here on earth, too. She had good friendships and good relationships. And I tell you what, you get a little bit older, and life slows down a little bit, and you begin to sort out your value system, and you realize there's things more important than money in this world, and the people we know, and our family, that's what's really most valuable to us. And Dorcas had that in abundance, didn't she? She had that in abundance, good friends. And they pressed Peter, and they said, Peter, you've got to help us out. I don't know whatever else you've got going on here. Maybe you're preaching some evangelistic meetings over there in Lydda, but that can wait. You're going to have to put that on hold. We have got to get Dorcas back. Number 10, ultimately, what was the result of Dorcas' loving service? I think we mentioned it already, but can you just go ahead and once again tell me what would be the ultimate result of her work and testimony? I'm sorry? People believed. Many believed, yep. many believed. I don't know that this is really the main point, but it's interesting to see the context. The reason why Peter was in Joppa, in the house of Simon the Tanner in the first place, and he had that vision, chapter 10, you know, and he was sent to Cornelius to minister to the Gentiles and so forth. I literally never in my life have put this together, that he was there just because he had been called over to help Dorcas, and that's why he was in that place to begin with. That's interesting. I don't know. I don't really have anything to say about it, but that was the... I'm sorry?
Was Dorcas a Gentile or a Jew?
I believe she was Jewish, and that's why she has two names. To be honest with you, I guess I'd have to go and look it up,
because
you know?
She was a Gentile, and he was doing exactly what he was
doing. Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, exactly, right. Yeah, I believe she was Jewish. I can't promise you. Maybe I have to get some Bible study tools and check on that. But I think that's, in fact, why she has two names given in this passage. All right, good. So, so that's about all I want to say about that. But what a remarkable example. Somebody who was not one of the 12 apostles or what have you, but yet she appears here in the story of Acts, a very important part of the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. A remarkable testimony and a remarkable ministry that she had, I think an example to follow. One last point before I take off here. Just think with me about Dorcas's example, her work, her testimony, and compare that to our previous woman of Acts on this page, to Sapphira. I don't know if you remember the story of Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. But she also is recorded in the book of Acts. And I just have to tell you, she's remembered as well all around the world. Hundreds of years later, Sapphira is also remembered, but in a much different way. I would have to say a much more negative way. So maybe at our table time this morning, what if we take the example of Dorcas and maybe compare and contrast that with Sapphira and what she did or maybe failed to do, okay? And how her story could have been different. That's an interesting thought. So I just leave you with that.